Today, we're going to be going through the analysis of the XZ utility supply chain attack. For those of you unaware, XZ Utilities is a compression tool used in almost every Linux system. It handles .xz files and is deeply integrated with core tools like the SSH service, which helps with remote access. And today, we're going to be going through a wonderful breakdown of what actually happened and how this is important not only to Linux, but open source in general, as we will probably see more and more attacks like this. The research paper here is called Wolves in the Repository, a Software Engineering Analysis of the XZ Utilities Supply Chain Attack, written by Piotr and Thomas, not sure as these people are for Poland and the Netherlands, wrote an amazing abstract about what happened in the early 2024 malicious backdoor that was found in the XZ Utilities. It affected versions 5.6 and 5.6.1, and for those of you unaware, the attacker gained trust over multiple years, became a project maintainer, and secretly added code that could let someone bypass SSH authentication and grant remote control access of Linux systems. This was a massive weaponization of a trusted open source tool that is used in many, many projects. So let's get into the breakdown today, as we're going to be reading through this well-made research paper released on April 24th, 2025. The abstract here. The digital economy runs on open source software, OSS, with an estimated 90% of modern applications containing open source components. While this widespread adoption has revolutionized software development, it has also created critical security vulnerabilities, particularly in essential but under-resourced projects. This paper examines a sophisticated attack on the XZ Utilities project, labeled under the CVE-2024-3094, where attackers exploited not just code, but the entire open source development process to inject a backdoor into a fundamental Linux compression library. Our analysis reveals a new breed of supply chain attack that manipulates software engineering practices themselves, from community management to CI/CD configurations. CI and CD just stand for continuous integration and continuous delivery, which are DevOps practices that help automate software building, testing, and releasing, to establish legitimacy and maintain long-term control through a comprehensive examination of GitHub events and development. We reconstruct the attack timeline, analyze the evolution of the attacker's tactics. Our findings demonstrate how attackers leverage seemingly beneficial contributions to project infrastructure and maintenance to bypass traditional security measures. This work extends beyond the traditional security analysis by examining how software engineering practices themselves can be weaponized, offering insights for protecting the open source ecosystem. So now we get a picture of what this paper is about. So it's fantastic that this paper was made, as 90% of modern software uses open source components. Once a project is compromised, either through social engineering tactics or just vulnerabilities, it can affect hundreds of thousands, if not millions of users. It exposes how underfunded and under-resourced open source projects are vulnerable not only to manipulation, but risk also associated with concentration. As the paper notes here, a risky situation was created with a bus factor, a measure of risk associated with information and capabilities being concentrated in a small number of individuals becoming alarmingly low. Maintainers face pressure, shouldering the responsibility for the projects that may be critical to numerous dependent systems, and the broader community becomes vulnerable to disruptions if a maintainer becomes unavailable or unable to continue their work. A notable example is the case of the Core.js library, which boasts 32 million weekly downloads on NPM, and security risks escalate, ranging from potential backdoors to crypto mining to the injection of vulnerabilities into the source code. As the XZ Utilities attack represented a very sophisticated social engineering attack, this method may eventually work on other projects as well. Actually, it'd be quite hard to know which projects are currently infiltrated. So let's continue on to talk about some of the key factors, the discovery of the actual vulnerability, how the timeline played out, some questions that are brought up by the research paper, and the official conclusion. But before we do, make sure to take a moment and subscribe below, as we're getting in depth here to understand the risky situations that arise with open source development, especially when you're understaffed or under-resourced. Also, make sure to smash that like button to get this out to more people, as this paper represents a fantastic in-depth dive into what exactly happened under the XZ Utilities attack. So let's talk about the background and the key actors. In the background section, we present the XZ Utilities attacks, the key actors, and how this vulnerability has been discovered. This provides a general understanding of the technical and social aspects that were required to perform this action. So the key actors here that were involved in the attack include the primary maintainer, now labeled as PM, which was the long-standing maintainer of the XZ utility since 2009. The primary maintainer's diligent upkeep likely protected the project from earlier security threats. Their long-standing commitment to the project underscores the challenges faced by solo maintainers of critical open-source infrastructure. Then we had the attacker, which is labeled by A, the principal persona behind the attack on the XZ utilities. The attacker became involved in the project's maintenance in 2021. Gradually establishing a position of trust within the community before executing the attack. Then we have the anomalous committer, AC, a contributor who introduced the iFunk resolver for the XZ utilities, a critical functionality that facilitated the attack. The anomalous committer's involvement raises important questions. Their contributions require specific expertise, but were limited in number. Their GitHub activity ceased abruptly after these contributions. To this day, it remains unclear whether these patches were genuine improvements of or part of the broader attack strategy. Then we have the Innocent Observer IO, which was a PostgreSQL developer at Microsoft who discovered and investigated the vulnerability. The Innocent Observer's role is uncovering the threat, highlights the importance of the cross-project vigilance in the open source community. The discovery process is detailed in section 2C. Finally, we have additional actors, AA. The attack involved several other personas likely created to add credibility and pressure. Puppet accounts on mailing lists were used to advocate. And it's even been brought up in the question whether the XZ Utilities attack was state-sponsored, as it is a strong case for advanced manipulation, and many experts have now strongly speculated whether or not it was state-sponsored, although there have been no definitive attributions made yet. The fact that there was long-term social engineering, people who had technical sophistication, multiple people involved, aka the additional attackers or multiple personas, and it was very strategic. It's very obscure that someone would focus on the critical component of Linux in a software stack and then try to compromise millions of systems. Its scale, the patience here, the precision, make it interesting for speculation on state-aligned or state-sponsored open-source supply chain attacks. Let's continue on with the paper, and specifically the discovery of the vulnerability, as it's important to understand how exactly it was discovered. The XZ Utilities vulnerability was uncovered by IO, the initial observer. His discovery, aided by a stroke of luck, began with his observation of anomalous behavior. Usually high CPU usage by SSHD processes during SSH logins. This led him to investigate further, ultimately revealing the attack on March 28, 2024. The initial observer traced the malicious code to apparently legitimate updates committed by the attacker A. The backdoor affected XZ Utilities versions 5.6 and 5.6.1, but only in the official archive download packages, or tarballs, and not the Git distributions. This discrepancy highlighted the attacker's careful approach to evading detection. In his disclosure, the initial observer noted, given the sustained activity over several weeks, it seems likely that the committer was directly involved or their system was severely compromised. He expressed skepticism about the latter scenario, citing that the maintainer's public communications about the purported fixes. And this initial observer, or the person who actually found the attack, was Andres Freund, who is a software engineer working at Microsoft and contributes to specifically PostgreSQL. And while conducting performance tests on Debian's development branch, Debian SID, Freund found unusual CPU usage during SSH connections, which led him to investigate the libLZMA library part of the XZ Utilities package, which was the backdoor that helped attackers bypass SSH authentication and execute arbitrary code on affected systems. Luckily, Freund discovered this and reported it to the OpenWall security mailing list, and was instrumental in preventing a widespread security crisis. I just wanted to give you some background of the initial observer, as we owe a lot to Andres for finding and reporting this suspicious activity. So why was XZ specifically targeted? Well, the thoughts here are that the XE Utilities project was probably targeted because it is a dependency of the systemd and could therefore be used to inject the vulnerability inside OpenSSH using systemd privileges. Additionally, the XE Utilities was appealing to attackers due to its status as a low-traffic repository managed by a single developer with a small community. There's only around 10 active members on the project's IRC channel. So more precisely here, the malicious backdoor in the XE Utilities is designed to inject code into the OpenSSH server, SSHD, on the target machine. This enables specific remote attackers who have designated a private key to accomplish one of the following: either send arbitrary payloads via SSH or bypass the SSH password authentication. Again, this was all introduced through the OpenSSH server through the libLZMA part of the XE Utilities, which contain the malicious code. And there's three specific questions answered by this paper. One, what is the research timeline of the XE Utilities attack? Two, what software engineering practices have been used by the attackers? And three, what are the consequences and impacts of the attack? We're going to get into all of these, and we'll start first with the timeline because it is very interesting. I'm not going to go through and read out the timeline word for word, but I will show off the commits and the user actions and the critical dates that are all shown in this graph. Let's break those down. So here in September of 2021 is the initial infiltration. At point two on the timeline, we have early contributions. Point three is what can be considered project takeover or the migration, which took nearly 2 years to do from this time to this time. Here at point four, we have code setup, strategically getting the code ready for deployment, which of course is the malicious code. And finally, we have the code deployment, or known as the malicious code deployment, the try for pushing the vulnerability to many systems. Okay, so figure one is the attacker and the primary maintainer's actions aggregated monthly and divided into commits and the user interaction events. Vertical lines indicate the start of a phase or point with a major event described in table two. The number plots display the number of events of each type, while the percentage plot shows the percentage of events if the changes are a result of collaboration between the attacker and the primary maintainer. They are marked with a darker color. So a breakdown really to focus is on the infiltration initially happened, or when the attacker started initially contributing. You can see here some code added, again, September 2021. Then we have an early contribution made. So initially we can see that the attacker and the primary maintainer are interacting with each other, and that's in September 2021. Then here we have our first bit of commits from the attacker. So that's the early contribution that they made in the beginning of the year of 2022, nearly 3 months after the initial interaction. Then we have project takeover, meaning all these contributions and interactions that the attacker is specifically making in order to gain trust for the project and their code being committed over. That all happens up to the beginning of 2023. So we have a full year span between these two. Now you can see that the attacker is making many commits and really taking over the project. As the primary maintainer is submitting less and less code, the attacker is committing more and more and making more and more interactions with the code base and the primary maintainer. So this is where they're setting up all their code in order to dump it out somewhere in that July period of time in 2023. Finally, they keep setting up the code all the way through 2024 at the beginning of the year. Very interesting, as the timeline is almost exactly 2 full years at this point of just setting things up. Finally, the code deployment happens and briefly after is discovered. So we could say that a lot of this right here was all just social engineering. Getting the main maintainer to trust and build all that trust over this year period of time, slowly taking over the project, setting up their malicious code, and finally deploying that code here on after. An amazing timeline, wonderfully gathered for this report and research. I love the way that they broke this down so we can see how insidious this actually was and how much time was spent trying to gain access and project takeover. So now that we've covered the timeline, let's talk about some of the practices employed by the attacker. But before we do, if you want a more advanced breakdown of the timeline, I highly suggest checking this research paper out. I'm going to post the link in the description below so you can see the events unfold, as each phase that they mention have many events that happen in between each phase to understand how the events unfolded between each phase. And there's a link to each individual proposal or commit that helped pressure the XZ utilities attack, all linked here. Fantastic sourcing. But I really want to read off the answer to the first question, which is how the timeline unfolded. The XZ utilities spanned 2.6 years, 2021 to 2024, and followed a phase strategy, trust building through mailing list contributions, gradually taking on maintainer duties, modernizing infrastructure via GitHub migration, and finally injecting malicious code. Though the actual attacker involved only 8 commits in 2024, the attacker built credibility through consistent project involvement, including code reviews and community management. The timing was aligned, interestingly enough, with the upcoming Red Hat and Debian releases, coinciding with peak project activity. Other accounts displayed similar focused engagement patterns. Though no direct links were found, the timeline shows how the routine project involvement can be methodologically exploited, underscoring the difficulty of distinguishing between well-intentioned and malicious contributors. A wonderful breakdown of the timeline and the intentions behind the attacker. So now we're going to get into the second question, which is software engineering activities employed by the attacker. What were they? Another wonderful breakdown and graph and chart from the researchers. Let's read through these. So we have a practice, what the purpose was, or apparent purpose, and finally the security implication. So we first start with community management. Well, this was done to build trust and influence, which would ultimately increase the authority in the decision-making process for the attacker. Then they set up the continuous integration and development, which modernizes the infrastructure and gains the attacker control over the automated processes and change contact email. Then we have core code contributions, addressing genuine issues and establishing a non-threatening presence, but also introducing exploitable features. We then have code review participation. This shows collaborative spirit and again establishes non-threatening presence. We have translation, building systems, which all again establish non-threatening presences. We continue on to test expansion, which improves the code quality, but hides the malicious payloads. Then we have GitHub migration, which enhances the project visibility and reduces traffic. And finally, they're starting to now gain ownership of the project and the organization. Website migration, simplifying it, and gives them the ability to change the contact email. Finally, mailing list engagement. It demonstrates not only expertise, but now they can influence the community perception before they release the attack. Wild activities coming from amazing long-term setup in order to gain influence over the project. This paper, of course, goes much more into depth about exactly how all of these transpired. Again, you can read through it in the description below, but I want to get to the answer for question two, which was, what software engineering practices were employed by the attacker? Our analysis reveals how the attacker methodologically employed a comprehensive range of software engineering practices, with documentation and translation activities surprisingly dominating over code contributions. This type of activity enables low-risk engagement that built credibility while avoiding intense scrutiny. The attacker systematically assumed control over multiple vectors and community management, becoming the de facto project spokesperson. Infrastructure modernization, gaining control through GitHub migration and CI/CD setup, and strategic automation of routine tasks. Notably, they gradually displaced the main maintainer's responsibilities across documentation, community management, code review, and translations. Sometimes using automation tools to facilitate these transitions, the attacker demonstrated a sophisticated understanding of open source dynamics, where seemingly beneficial contributions, particularly non-code activities, can be weaponized to establish authority and create attack vectors while minimizing risk detection. What an amazing social engineering project, as this really shows how massive open source projects can be at risk of falling to the same type of manipulation from social engineering. A lot of us focus strictly on bugs and vulnerabilities in the code instead of manipulation. This is notably an attack by manipulating the project and the project's maintainers. This is another vector of attack that people don't talk about, but is probably the most prevalent way of actually attacking a project. Hopefully this opens up the open source community's eyes to be careful and minimize their risks by upping the level of scrutiny at which people engage with the project. Anyways, let's talk about question three, the impact of the attack on the XZ Utilities project and the broader OSS community. As we search for answers on what impact this has made on open source, the answer here is that the XZ Utilities attack has broad, lasting effects on the open source ecosystem, though contained before exploitation. It led to a thorough 3-year review uncovering 8 malicious commits. Ironically, the incident has strengthened the project, increased activity, bringing in new contributors, which is a fantastic thing. I'm super happy that the main maintainer is getting the help that they need. The broader OSS community has responded with concrete actions. Major projects like CMake and Systemd are now reducing dependencies. New security tools such as Distro, Backdoor Scanner, and Backseat Signed have been developed, and build systems are now being fortified. Evidenced by auto-config updates and tools like AutoDAF, these changes reflect a shift towards better contributor vetting, secure build processes, and collaborative governance, and sustainable funding for the critical OSS infrastructure. This is wonderful to hear. As we're seeing updates to project management and strategies behind project management, we have a breakdown on some of those areas, including contributor vetting, which now we're enhancing background checks for new maintainers, dependency management and increased scrutiny of the transition of dependencies, build process security, emphasis on reproducible builds and verifiable build artifacts, governance models, moving towards multi-stakeholder governance for critical projects, funding and support, and increased focus on sustainable funding for critical OSS infrastructure, security tooling, development of new tools that detect anomalous contributor behavior, education and training, enhanced security training for OSS maintainers. This could have been a lot worse if the attacker had actually deployed their malicious code into stable systems. Who knows what they were trying to actually do and what kind of malicious code they were trying to run on our systems. Anyone using Linux could have been affected by this malicious code. Luckily, it was caught early, thanks to Andres again. As we get into the conclusion, the XZ Utilities CVE 2024-3094 serves as a stark reminder of the vulnerabilities inherent in the open source software ecosystem, particularly for high impact projects maintained by small teams or individual developers. Our analysis of the sophisticated attack reveals several key insights. 1. Attackers employed a wide range of software engineering practices, including community management, CI, configuration updates, and infrastructure modernization to establish credibility and maintain long-term control over the project. 2. The evolution of the attacker activities over time demonstrated a careful, patient approach that mimicked legitimate contributor patterns while gradually introducing malicious elements. 3. Automation tools and modern development practices were leveraged not only to improve the project, but also to obfuscate malicious intentions, highlighting the dual-edged nature of technologies in open source. These findings underscore the need for a multifaceted approach to enhance OSS security, improve community vigilance, and peer review processes, especially for projects with high downstream impact, development of sophisticated tools for detecting anomalous contribution patterns and potential security risks, greater support for resources for critical OSS projects, reducing the burden on individual maintainers and lowering the risk of burnout and/or compromise. Enhanced education guidelines for OSS maintainers and contributors on recognizing and mitigating potential security threats. The aftermath of the XZ Utilities attack has already spurred significant changes in the OSS community, including more rigorous review processes, efforts to reduce unnecessary dependencies, and the development of new security auditing tools. However, these reactive measures must be complemented by proactive strategies to build more resilient OSS ecosystems. Future research should focus on developing more sophisticated threat models for the OSS projects, creating adaptive security measures that can evolve with attacker techniques, and exploring the substantial funding and support models for the critical open source infrastructure. Additionally, the psychological aspects of maintaining high-stakes OSS projects deserve further investigation to better support the mental health and resilience of key contributors. In conclusion, while the XZ Utilities attack exposed several serious vulnerabilities on the OSS model, it also presents an opportunity for software engineering community to innovate and adapt. By learning from this incident and implementing robust safeguards, we can work towards an open source ecosystem that maintains its innovative spirit and collaborative nature while significantly enhancing the security and sustainability. As We have digital forensics and incident response tools for classical security incidents. We also need similar solutions tailored to attacks on software repositories. In sophisticated cases like the XZ Utilities attack, we need tools designed to reconstruct or clean up repository artifacts post-attack. Here, MSR techniques can be used both proactively to detect unusual project behaviors and assist in reconstructing attacks with data-driven evidence. So this paper here, The Wolves in the Repository, is an exceptional and essential study because it shows us how the XZ Utilities backdoor was not just a security vulnerability, but a strategic exploitation of the open source development process itself. It goes far beyond the forensics, dissecting how the attacker infiltrated trusted networks and manipulated the continuous integration and development workflows, and finally weaponized normal software engineering practices in order to supply malicious code in an open source project. This all matters as it highlights fragility in the critical open source software infrastructure because as it's maintained by volunteers under pressure without safeguards. It also provides us with understanding concrete timelines and how engineering behavior patterns led to a flawed trust model, and it emphasizes the next types of software attacks, which aren't just about code. It's about manipulation in things like processes, trust, automation, and governance. This is a warning that our systems, no matter how secure their code, are only as strong as the people and the processes behind them. If we want open source to remain the backbone of most software, this paper serves as a warning as the next attack won't look like an exploit, but it may look like a contribution. Again, a wonderful paper by Bitor and Thomas here. Wonderful work. Let me know what you think about the supply chain attack on the XZ Utilities in the comments section below. Now we have an expert analysis on how things transpired. Also, take a moment and subscribe below. YouTube can get finicky. You wouldn't want to miss another video like this. Also, smash that like button for me on the way back up. Catch me in a great community on Discord, and I'll catch you in another video. Thanks for watching. Linux can be hard to understand, but I take the most commonly used terms, commands, and subjects in Linux, and I break them down into simple-to-read documents, including Linux terms, flashcards, a checklist, a cheat sheet, and a mind map. And if you're ready to level up your Linux experience and knowledge, go to savvynick.com now and get access to these sheets.